Good evening, and welcome to the Safilo Group conference call on the first quarter 2014 results. This call may contain forward-looking statements relating to future events and operating, economic, and financial results for Safilo Group. Such forecasts, due to their nature, imply a component of risk and uncertainty due to the fact that they depend on the occurrence of certain future events and developments. The actual results may therefore vary, even significantly, to those announced in relation to a multitude of factors. Today's participants are Luisa Delgado, Chief Executive Officer, Vincenzo Gianelli, Chief Financial Officer, and Barbara Ferrante, Director of Investor Relations. I will now pass the call over to Ms. Luisa Delgado, Chief Executive Officer. Ms. Delgado, you may begin.
Thank you very much, and good evening to everyone. Welcome to the presentation of our quarter one 2014 results. Given the advanced time for those of you based in Europe, we will attempt to keep our prepared remarks tight and then leave, as usual, space for your comments and questions. If we move to the first slide, we can see we are broadly satisfied with the way we have started the new year. As I have commented in the past two calls and individual meetings with many of you, we all at Safilo are fully focused on constructing the required capabilities to ensure enduring success of our business. Our mission is to create sustainable, profitable growth for the long term. In 2014, we are starting to set the foundation of this strategic approach, and our day-to-day decisions and actions are rigorously guided by the, for the total organization, clear guiding principle. It implies a deliberate choice for quality, be it as regards product as well as distribution. Our first 3 months results evidence that we have started the year coherently with our choice. The quarter's results show, on the one side, healthy turnovers, thanks to profitable volumes and positive mix, then increasing profits and margins, and third, step-by-step strengthening of our operational discipline and continued discipline in managing our financial leverage. To the next slide and assessing our top line, I would like to comment with the following key points. First, there are well-known headwinds which have impacted revenues in the period. On the one side, there are the foreign exchange rates with the continuing depreciation of the main currencies against the euro. On the other side, there are the unusually bad weather conditions in the U.S. at the beginning of the year, which affected our sales through our Solstice stores and resulted in slower reassortment of our collections in the wholesale business. Second, we're facing a new challenge versus last year, which I had the occasion to comment on in our last call. Last year, we developed our brand portfolio by replacing shelf space previously occupied by Armani. This year, we're raising the bar. The objective is to gain share and increase sell-out. This requires commercial capabilities that are by and large new for Safilo and rigorous focus on excellent in-market execution with quality distribution. What we have done during quarter one is therefore to consolidate accordingly our sales performance in the key markets and distribution channels while leveraging our over-proportional opportunities for growth in emerging markets. We recorded a low single-digit sales growth, a +1.9% at constant exchange rates, mainly driven by positive brand, product, and channel mix. Specifically, Europe grew 2.4% at constant exchange rates, while North America was flattish. Our new Latin American region grew about 10%, and Asia just about 2%. We also started to introduce Fendi gradually in the key worldwide markets and launched the first Bobbi Brown eyewear collection in the United States and Canada. These are two new and different business opportunities that will enable us to go after yet untapped opportunities, not only because they are new brands, but also because they allow us to grow in new distribution channels, such as namely department stores. Among Safilo's proprietary brands, we saw in particular that Polaroid's positive momentum is becoming stronger, not only in new markets like China and Brazil, but also in core countries like Spain and Portugal, where our brand is gaining fast market share. Moving to the last slide, we are particularly happy of our performance at the industrial profit level. The reported gross margin increase shows that we are capable of delivering healthy business while making a series of instrumental interventions to boost systemically our capability to deliver for the long term. This is at the heart of our strategy. We believe that to enable Safilo to grow sustainably and build competitive edge to win, we must make chosen strategic capability investments that have not been made during the several past years. As well, we must organize ourselves for operational excellence. At the same time, though, we also believe that because we have important opportunity to increase the quality of our sales and volumes in the many markets and channels where we are underdeveloped, we can, as a consequence, build our profitability step by step concurrently with these investments. This quarter, we have started to invest in such interventions, namely in brand building for proprietary brands and, importantly, in the information systems to step change our business processes. Again, these are part of this long-term strategy to enable Safilo to grow profitably, sustainably. More of them will follow in a very deliberately chosen way, rigorously controlled and implemented, while we are reorientating our organization to work in a team-based, customer-orientated way with more simplicity. And bottom line, finally, because our net financial expenses decreased significantly, the net profit attributable to the group reached 6.5 million euros, an increase of almost 23% versus the same quarter of last year. I now hand over 16 million euros, I beg your pardon, an increase of almost 23% versus the same quarter of last year. I now hand over to Vincenzo, who will take us through the details of our quarter one results, and then I will come back and briefly conclude.
Thank you, Luisa. I will start very briefly on our reported results for the quarter. With consolidated revenues, which ended a touch below last year at 293.2 million euro, down 1.3% at current exchange rates, while up 1.9% at constant exchange rates. Gross profit reached 184 million euro, up 2.4% over the same period last year, more or less in line with the plus 2.3% recorded by EBITDA at 35.4 million euro. EBIT stood at 26.8 million euro, up 4.3%, while the net profit attributable to the group reached 16.5 million euro, as mentioned by Luisa, increasing 22.9% compared to Q1 2013. So now let's come back to the main market trends that characterized our sales performance in the period, slide 8. With Europe, which was again our top-performing region, up 2.4% current exchange rates, plus 3.1% at constant currencies. Business in Germany and UK recorded the highest improvements, while we continue to experience recovering trends in Southern Europe, namely Spain, Portugal, and Italy as well. By product category, our prescription frame collections achieved a broader base growth, including positive performance in key accounts, our best European distribution channel, both for the top-end brands as well as for the fashion and value-for-money products. In the Americas, turnover declined 4.8% at current currencies, while it was in line with last year at constant exchange rates. North America was overall weak. Retail sales at our 132 Salty stores dropped 5.2% reported, 1.6% constant exchange rates. Comp sales were affected by bad weather conditions at the beginning of the year and lower levels of reorders thereafter, also due to Easter calendar shift from March. A trend that we also recorded in our wholesale business with a soft start of the season in the independent optician channel. On the positive side, we have the positive market reception of our initial launch of the brand new eyewear collection of Bobby Brown, whose distribution is for the time being limited to USA and Canada. As already mentioned by Luisa, we recorded a very broad-based revenues increase in Latin America, namely Brazil performed well with the greatest progressions recorded by the fashion diffusion products. Turnover in Asia declined, this is slide 10, turnover in Asia declined 2.2% reported, whereas it was up 1.9% at constant exchange rates. Here I would like to highlight the positive trends recorded by our underlying business in China and Korea. In China, we are expanding the distribution of our proprietary brands, and Polaroid in particular is experiencing a strong growth of doors and revenues. In Korea, we are recording strong growth in department stores, which is an important distribution channel in the country and a sizable growth opportunity. Let's move now to our quarterly economic performance, slide 11. Gross margin was the big driver, uplifting to 62.8% of sales, 230 basis points higher than in Q1 2013. I would indicate two main contributors to this increase. First of all, a better sales mix by product and channel. Secondly, a higher and better utilization of our plants in Italy and outside Italy. I would say that the improvement of sales mix accounts for two-thirds of the change, while the better utilization of our plants for one-third of the improvement. We have already touched base with Louise on the strategic areas of our business that require investments. So moving to EBITDA, our gross operating margin, while affected by a slight increase of selling, general and administrative costs, grew to 12.1% of turnover from 11.7% in the same quarter last year. Below the operating line, and now we move to slide 13, we had the expected significant reduction of net interest expenses, which in quarter more than halved from 5.5 million euro down to 2.3 million euro thanks to the reduced cost of debt coming from the yield bond repayment occurred in May last year. Tax rate was pretty much stable compared to Q1 last year at 32.4% of our pre-tax profit. All in all, the group net margin improved by 110 basis points, getting to 5.6% of our total sales. On the financial front, let me remind you that we closed the period with a net debt of 207.5 million euro, down around 13 million euro compared to the same quarter last year, while it was higher than last year end due to the seasonality of our business. Free cash flow was negative with an outflow of 24.6 million euro. The latter was worse than last year given the normalized working capital dynamics. Let me point out that Q1 is typically negative in terms of cash flow seasonality because of the dynamics of working capital. To give you more color, in Q1 2014, we had a 45 million euro negative change of working capital versus 28 million euro negative change of previous year Q1. And this difference is mainly depending on one side on the reversal effect of lower receivables as of December, which generated, of course, a lower level of collections in Q1. On the other side, additionally, we have to remind that between the end of 2012 and Q1 2013, we were managing the stocking of phasing out brands, while now we are supporting the launch of new brands and the expansion of Polaroid distribution with the increased inventories. So, cash flow for investing activities stood at 7.6 million euro, also including the increase in the group's interest in its Hong Kong subsidiary from 80% to 90%, and also the IT systems developments. More meaningfully, our financial leverage rests comfortably below 2x at 1.7. Luisa, now back to you for your additional remarks.
Thank you, Vincenzo. I'd like to finish by sharing with you a few most meaningful events that have marked the beginning of this year for Safilo. I do trust they give you a sense of what makes Safilo special in the eyewear industry and ultimately represents the lasting competitive edge of our company. We are a creator of superior quality and innovation eyewear and the partner of choice for the most prestigious worldwide brands across fashion, contemporary, mass, and the very, very highest end consumer segments. And we craft eyewear since 1878, with Safilo having been incorporated in its current form 80 years ago. The next chart shows how we have decided to celebrate Safilo's 80th anniversary with quality and craftsmanship. We move to chart 16. We paid tribute with the launch of a special capsule collection that unites our historical brand Safilo and Mark Newson, one of the most eclectic and gifted creative designers of his generation. Five different models, each characterized by unique features and state-of-the-art Safilo technologies, use, for example, ultra-lightweight Optile, which is a trademark registered by Safilo, and are used individually or combined with our new revolutionary Elasta 80 hinge. We officially presented this capsule collection during the 53rd edition of the Salone del Mobile in Milan, inside the Triennale, a prime destination which gave us tremendous visibility and received exceptional reaction from worldwide opinion leaders. This is a special project which we will give continuity to and which is now distributed worldwide on an exclusive network of trendsetting multi-brand stores and high-end international retailers like Colette in Paris, Cosmopolitan in Milan, Dover Street Market in London, and a selection of the best-in-class specialized opticians. In our next chart, I want to illustrate to you that we have chosen to position ourselves distinctively as a global eyewear player that is brand-driven and design-inspired, capable of bringing to life different DNAs of our brands, no matter whether they are licensed or proprietary. We want to further drive our traditional savoir-faire and craftsmanship and transform them into real, sustained resources of competitive advantage. To do this, we nurture every brand in its uniqueness, as you can see here through our beautiful, highly appreciated spring-summer collections, Dior Surreal sunglasses, Gucci Technocolor capsule collection, and Fendi's first collection produced and distributed by Safilo are some most meaningful examples of how we want to build ourselves going forward, inspired by design, driven by strong operational and commercial practices, always focused on quality. This now concludes our prepared remarks, and Vincenzo and I stand ready to take your questions or comments.
Thank you. If you would like to ask a question at this time, please press the star or asterisk key, followed by the digit 1 on your telephone. Please ensure that the mute function in your telephone is switched off to allow your signal to reach our equipment. If you find that your question has already been answered, you may remove yourself from the queue by pressing star 2. Again, please press star 1 to ask a question. We will pause for just a moment to allow everyone to signal. We will take an opening question from Basil Chigari of Berenberg. Please go ahead. Your line is open.
Oh, hello. I have three questions, please. The first one is on Carrera. Remember, you've been talking about relaunching the brand, and I was wondering when could we expect to hear more, and especially on the positioning, are you going to look into Carrera more as a lifestyle brand or more a sports performance brand? My second question is on profitability, and you've posted quite a strong improvement this quarter. How should we be looking at the year? And maybe you can help us understand what could be the potential impact from the end of the solidarity agreement this summer. And the last one is more a long-term question, I believe. Under the previous management team, after the Armani loss, there was a guidance of an EBITDA margin of 3.5% by 2015. Do you still view that assumption as valid or not? Thank you.
Thank you very much for your questions, Basel. I would like to address the Carrera question first. You are right. On Carrera, we are in the following place. On the one side, our frames of Carrera are enjoying excellent growth and excellent reception on the market. We had the occasion to comment that in the last call. I also outlined that on Sun, we are in a rethink of the brand and plan to reset it going forward while currently focused on the markets where it is strong and fueling that strength. We plan to position Carrera as a lifestyle brand, and we plan to be ready to start engaging our customers with that towards the fall, so as to be absolutely ready to be in store as of January 2015. I want to be clear that this will be an organic changeover to build on the strengths where currently Carrera is strong, also in sun, but to create the basis for investment and growth in markets where we are not yet, and therefore go global in a very systemic way, built on a strong, exceptionally well thought through, we believe, brand equity. That's on Carrera. Maybe on profitability, I'll hand over to Vincenzo for a few comments, and then I'll take the 2015 plan, commenting after Vincenzo has introduced it.
Okay. In terms of profitability, Basil, you saw that we had an improvement of our EBITDA margin from 11.7% up to 12.1%, basically with flattish sales. So let me say that this improvement is coming from a more important improvement on gross margin on one side, which is partially offset by the additional investments and resources we are deploying in the selling, general, and administrative costs. So let me say that with some growth and a balanced growth on the top line, the improvement of the margin, then if it is 40 basis points, something more than that is feasible for the full year. Looking at the solidarity, the expiry of the current agreement, which expires by August, of course, internal volumes are growing and the utilization of the solidarity scheme is lower. We are about at 15%, more or less. In Q1, the utilization of the flexibility was in the region of 15%. Overall, volumes are growing, of course, also as a consequence of the launch of Fending, and depending on the volumes that we will see in terms of orders and programs and forecast in the next few months, of course, we will adjust our capacity. Let me say that in terms of impact on profitability, we are confident that we will find the right solution, and if any, the impact will be very limited. With respect to the 13.5% target for 2015 as a function of a balanced growth, so not only growth in terms of volumes, but balance in terms of mix by brand, product, and channel, if we are able this year to improve more than 50 basis points from the 11% of last year, 10.9, more in the region of 11.5-12, yes, of course, 13.5% would be feasible next year, but of course it is a function of the balanced growth of the top line, not in a flattish top line context, of course.
Okay, thank you. And just one quick follow-up on Carrera. Correct me if I'm wrong, but I believe Carrera is very much skewed towards men customers. And maybe you can help us understand how do you plan to maybe attract more female customers, which tend to be the hard spenders in the sunglass area. Thank you.
We see that by positioning Carrera as a lifestyle brand and not a literally racing sports brand, we are able to attract a more unisex target, and we will be very pleased when we launch the big campaigns and present them to discuss more in depth our target consumer and prime prospect.
Thank you very much.
Thank you.
We will take our next question from Domenico Gilotti of Equita. Please go ahead. Your line is open.
Good afternoon. I have three questions. The first is related to your comment on the margin improvement, in particular to the relevance of your top line growth to support the margin improvement. So I wonder if you are seeing some pickup in top line growth in Q2 and in your order portfolio at the end of April after the flattish Q1 performance. And also, still on the top line, you used to provide the organic performance, so excluding the new brands or discontinued brands. So I wonder if you can give us a sense of what was the contribution of the new brands on the first quarter performance. The last question is on the financial charges. I was surprised to see such a sharp decline, also compared to the end of last year, so with a similar net debt level. So I'm trying to understand if there is any particular contribution in Q1 or if you can just extrapolate from Q1 for the full year.
So on Q2 pickup, top line, etc., of course, I mean, we are still in April, so it's not easy to give you a forecast for the quarter. Let me say that we are seeing some improving trends, so not far away from what we experienced in Q1, but with slight improvements so far. Okay. In terms of organic growth, etc., let me say that we are still in the preliminary early stage of launch of the new brands with Bobbi Brown, which is not big because it's starting from scratch. It was not existing in the eyewear category, and Fendi is in the early stages of expansion. So we do not qualify. We are happy with the numbers that those new brands are doing. They are on track, but I mean we do not qualify the total performance in terms of what is organic or not organic.
I can assume that Fendi is quite marginal so far. So into
one. And then one thing is when you have a big a bulk of three big brands which terminate as all of a sudden, and a different issue is when you have new smaller brands starting up in the first quarter. Okay. Mm-hmm. With reference to financial charges, of course, we had a neutral effect of exchange rates fluctuations, mm-hmm. and while the reduction of the net interest expenses is the result of a much better and lower cost of debt, because our sources of funding are now much better than they used to be when an important part of our debt was driven by the high-yield bond. So let me say, if exchange rates fluctuations are neutral on the outstanding debt and receivables, etc., this reduction is sustainable. Of course, part up to May 2014. Then we have not a big reduction, but the absolute level is sustainable, of course.
Mm-hmm. Okay, thank you.
As a reminder, if you would like to ask a question, please press star 1 on your telephone keypad. We take our next question from Andrea Bonfa of Banca Aletti. Please go ahead, your line is open.
Hello, good evening. My question has been answered by the previous colleagues. Thank you very much.
You're welcome.
We take our next question from Basil Chigari of Berenberg. Please go ahead. Your line is open.
Hello. One follow-up for me, please. I remember that last year part of your growth was driven by you replacing the existing shelf space left by Armani by your other products. I believe this year it's maybe happening the other way around at Fendi. So are you seeing a cannibalization of your other brand sales by Fendi, or do you think you're gaining more shelf space within retailers? Thank you.
Thank you for your question, and you are right. Last year it was about Armani keeping the existing shelf space. As I had the occasion to comment in my upfront remarks, this year it is about gaining additional shelf space to place both new brands as well as existing brands with more brand penetration per door. So no, we are not seeing cannibalization by placing Fendi and other of our brands ceding space. That is absolutely not the commercial strategy, and we're holding our organization accountable for that not to happen. So we are going very gradually, in a highly qualitative way, into distributing Fendi step by step, mindful that a changeover like this requires time, and in full partnership with our licensor, that what counts is the step-by-step quality distribution worldwide.
Thank you. And one last one, if I may, on Polaroid. Is it launched already in Latin America? And if not, when do you plan to launch it, please?
We have started and will expand further step-by-step geographically. I confirm what I started to say in the last call. Polaroid across the world, including and potentially even very specially in emerging markets, has a tremendous potential. We are seeing exceptional reception of it precisely because it's very special value for money equation, including in Latin America, absolutely.
Thank you very much.
Thank you.
We take our next question from Domenico Gilotti of Equita. Please go ahead. Your line is open.
Yeah, just a clarification on the comments that you gave on the mix. So if I understood properly, the most important contributor to top line was the mix in this quarter, while volumes were more, say, flattish and currency negatives. But why are you seeing now then the improvement in capacity utilization if most of the top line growth is coming from mix?
Domenico, because of course internal volumes are growing, so it's again an item in terms of mix between make and buy product.
Okay, and can you continue in this process of insourcing a higher percentage of production?
Partly has already been done. Partly we can proceed in this direction. But of course, the overall utilization of the capacity is depending on the overall volumes of the most important brands, which are made in Italy, so Gucci, Dior, Fendi, etc. And we have also some insourcing activities which are helping.
Mm-hmm. But on top of the, for example, Fendi new launch, you are increasing your internal volumes.
It's not only the utilization of the capacity here in Italy, but we are increasing also the utilization of our plants in Slovenia with the Optil and in China.
And even in Italy, we are in the process of bringing in-house volumes for Safilo as well.
Of course.
Okay. So it's more broader action, not only related to the Fendi launch. Okay. Thank you.
We take our next question from Alberto Cecinato of Fidentiis. Please go ahead. Your line is open.
Yes, hello. I have three questions. You talk about the mix as a major driver for the gross margin expansion. I was wondering if you can give us some color about your sales mix right now between proprietary and licensed brands. Second question is about your guidance for 2015. You said previously that if you can reach 11.5 to 12% EBITDA margin in 2014, then 13.5% EBITDA margin is feasible. So I was wondering what is the level of sales growth that you should reach to achieve a 12% EBITDA margin in 2014? And third question is about usage rate of your solidarity contracts. So do you expect, based on the volumes outlook you have, that these usage rates would be close to zero or something like low single digit by the end of the agreement, which is, if I remember correctly, August 2014? Thank you.
Okay, more color on margin. Let me say that the most important, of course, brand mix is important, but let me say the most important difference between this year and last year in Q1 is that in Q1 2013 we still had some volumes of close-out sales on phasing out and phased out brands, while now we have no phase-outs and we have only new brands. We are filling the pipeline, and so let me say this is, of course, positive. So the brand mix, I wouldn't comment in terms of mix between proprietary and licensed brands, but the most important difference between Q1 2014 and 13 in terms of brand mix is about volumes of phasing out brands and volumes of new brands. Then, of course, channel mix is even more important because, let me say, we are growing sales in some cases, reducing the number of customers and doors, and so the channel mix is better, and this explains also part of this of the difference. So it's mostly brand and channel mix. And within the brand mix, of course, also we are managing product mix in terms of product quality and also product margins as much as possible, which is helping.
So this, if I may add, is reflective of a quality focus we want to have, which is starting to translate into leveraging mix very purposefully to drive profitability. Channel, quality sales, quality destinations and distribution, which in totality with high quality products will bring us an ever-increasing mix improvement.
The second question on the 13.5% margin and your question about the top line level, which is consistent with that margin, I would stick to the level that we presented in our strategic plan, which was in the region between in the range between 1,250 and 1,300. Let me say so. But it's not only the top line level per se. It's even more important that the balance and the mix of that target.
So it may be that depending on our mix improvements, the top line may be slightly less required than what you are seeing and what we had thought at the time, what was thought at the time in the strategic plan. We stand to the strategic plan and to the trajectory we are on, as I had the occasion to remind you in October and also in January, and we will continue to do that with the end in mind of 2015. If I may, I also want to tell you that during the course of this year, towards the end of the year, we will then firm up a new strategic plan which takes 2015 onwards to 2020, which we will have the occasion to share in more depth, but we are on the trajectory and remain on the trajectory of 2015 strat plan that was shared at the time.
And on the last question, on the utilization of the flexibility of the solidarity, we are not getting to zero. Now Q1 was 15%, more or less. We are not getting to zero, but we are confident that we can find the right solution to manage also this.
Thank you. Just one follow-up question about 2014. So I'm not asking you to give targets, but I'm just wondering what is the kind of sales level that you have to reach if you want to reach a 12% EBITDA margin, which is, I mean, the prerequisite, as you said, to then get to 13.5% in 2015.
I mean, it's not. I mean, it's not. We have not such an algorithm because it depends on the consistency and the balance of the top line. Because if you grow not in a balanced way, you cannot reach the 12% margin that you are mentioning. We did not give that guidance. But you can reach that target even with a lower level of top line if the top line is balanced. We need to grow on proprietary brands according to plans, and we need also to manage our licensed brands according to plans. If we do not reach minimum committed volumes on some brands, we can have extra charges in terms of royalties, etc., which will cause margins issues. So it's really an exercise in terms of balance growth. There is not one level.
Great, thank you.
As a final reminder, if you would like to ask a question, please press star 1 on your telephone keypad. We take our next question from Marco Bacciaglia of Kepler. Please go ahead. Your line is open.
Good afternoon. Two quick questions. The first one is on the financial structure and your cost of debt. Wanted to come back on this very low number of financial charges, whether asking you whether there is inside some exchange rate differences which might explain the gap, and in any case, what is your potential cost of debt with a current leverage, and also having in mind maybe the aim of refinancing part of the debt. And the second question is on the tax rate, which I have in my expectation more in the range of 37-38%, while you are putting an estimate for Q1 at 32%. I was wondering if this is due to the high seasonality of Q1 or if it's a focus we should consider for the full year.
In terms of cost of debt, exchange rate in Q1 was quite neutral. Let me say the cost of debt is in the region of 3%, more or less, and it is now sustainable. Of course, in case of refinancing, it will depend on the structure of the refinancing. And I cannot comment on this respect. On tax rate, let me say that our ordinary rate should be in the region of 35% on a yearly basis, so slightly higher than the one that we had in Q1 2014 and 13. The one we had in this quarter is consistent with the one of last year, but on a yearly basis it's closer to 35%.
As there are no further questions in the queue, that will conclude today's Q&A session. I would now like to turn the call back to the speakers for any additional or closing remarks.
I want to thank everybody for the engagement and for the questions, and remind you that we continue available for more individual engagement through Barbara Ferrante or and via her, also Vincenzo and myself. I wish you a good evening. Thank you very much. Thank you.
Goodbye.
Thank you. That will conclude today's conference call. Thank you for your participation, ladies and gentlemen. You may now disconnect.